Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So we're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York. I'm Pharrell with Mavi and Carver High. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Go there all weekend, Saturday and Sunday, for all my college, pro, NHL picks, boxing, UFC 234. We're loaded up this weekend. PharrellOnTheBench.com. The best price, the best return, killer picks. Fans love it. You'll love it. All of them are emailed to you in a ranked fashion from favorite to least. You'll dig it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Episode 143 of Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, iTunes, and Google Play comes out tomorrow morning. Episode 144 on Sunday. Subscribe free. Follow me on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4. CBS brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle, boat, RV insurance? They got that, too. Just go to Geico.com. Geico.com. Anyway, happy birthday here. Birthday wishes go out to Vince Neil, Motley Crue. Come on. All right, 855-212-4. CBS, Carver High getting off on the Motley Crue.
You really
Crue.
Can't beat it. You just can't. You like, they had it. Such a...
A run
that it's just, whether you go from that album, you know, Theater of Pain, at Dr. Feelgood, unbelievable record. It's just, they had so many great tunes.
Listen, no doubt. I loved him. I've seen him live 15 times. So the your boy Dwayne Wade, I love him. Always have been a D-Wade fan. I just think he's fantastic. I used to go down and watch the Heat play when I lived in Miami. I loved him. So his career just flew by, right? Great player. But, you know, I got to tell you, I've been seeing him every night with the jerseys. He's exchanging with every team, every player and everything. And I just can't even fathom how old he looks to me. I mean, honestly, have you seen him, like, lately, like just in an interview or anything? Does he not look like he's been in the NBA for 20 years and he just looks ragged out?
Yes.
Does he not look like he's got rings under his eyes and just crow's feet and just looks like it's just taking a toll on him, all the airplane rides and all the games and all the arenas and all the media and everything else and every, you know, playing for 6, 7, 8 months every year? Does he not look beat up and worn out? I mean, that guy looks like he's 50 years old. I mean, he does look 50 years old. What is he, like 30-something? He's barely, what is he, 36, 37, 38? I don't even know. He's not playing into his 40s. I think he's probably 37, 38, right?
Something 37.
Like that. There you go. I mean, he looks 57. It's unbelievable. Chicks dig me. I'm 53. The chicks say I look like 25. I think they're lying to me. Evil. Anyway, there's tons of college basketball. I want to get into it this hour for the weekend. And, there's all kinds of things happening here that I'm seeing in the interim. One, they're saying Rondo's game winner should have been waved off. Why is that? I want to know why that is. Why would that game winner be waved off? Oh, unless it's, once again, here's what it says. The latest example is that from 2015, they came after Al Horford blocked an Ingram layup attempt. The ball bounced around for a while before, and the rest is history, blah, blah, blah. The NBA's reported Friday notes officials should have called a moving screen against Tyson Chandler, negating the game-winning shot and Rondo's redemption. Please. What are they going to do? Play the game again? Is this another one? Are the Saints fans going to march? Going to have a little march there and protest it? Are you going to sue somebody, get some billboards? Dolphins are going to cut Danny Amendola. Remember when he mattered? You know the story, Justin Fields granted eligibility for the 2019 season at Ohio State, so he'll be able to play immediately. That just smells fishy to me, man. He transferred, and 5 minutes later, he's starting, right? So he'll be good to go for the Buckeyes. And Ryan Day, here's the story. The Nationals might match any Philadelphia offer for Bryce Harper, right? And then... it still says here the Padres are after Machado, and then everybody keeps telling us it's going to be the White Sox. We'll see. Neither one of them have signed, and they haven't announced anything. Nobody can figure out why. Neither one of them wants to be the first to sign is what it is. And then the other one thinks he's worth more money. That's what it's about.
I saw a report. Jim Duquette here in New York tonight was on, I guess, one of the local stations saying that he knows that the Yankees, or he heard that the Yankees offered Machado 7 for $220 million. Now, that's obviously, it's about $30 million a year, only for 7 years, clearly below the years and the dollars that Machado wants. I don't know if that's still available to him, if that was maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, who knows, but he knows that the Yankees did.
Would you take an offer for 7 years and 220 when you could make $300 million somewhere else for 10?
I guess it depends on how much do you want
to
win.
Because 220 to 300 is what, $80 million bucks?
Yes, it
in
is.
3 years? So 30, 60, 90. $30 million a year. It's no different. The same, it'd be the same deal with less years.
Right.
Don't you think in 7 years he'll be washed up anyway?
Well, that's the thing. He'll be, what, around 34, really, he'll be 34, 35 at the end of 7 years. He's, what is he now, 26?
I think that offer, if that's true, is the smartest thing I've heard yet about him. I'd give him 7,220 right now. That's about what he's worth. I think 10 and 300 is insanity.
He's 26 right now, so you figure 7 years, what's 33, 34, right in that area when the deal's done? And he still can get another deal after that.
You still get another deal. He'll also be, no matter what, when you get that kind of money and you get that kind of weight on your shoulders that you're the man, that means, like, literally, if you walk, they're going to write bad about you. If you go 0 for 4, you're going to get it. And then if you add that up over to here, because everything that goes wrong on, let's say he goes to the White Sox and doesn't put up, you know, staggering numbers, they're going to blame him for everything.
He's going to the White Sox.
He'll be blamed for everything in Chicago.
I believe that's where he's going to go. And I think that Yankee deal probably isn't available to him anymore. I don't believe they would have brought in LeMahieu. I don't think they would have did some of the other things that they did if they knew they weren't going to be getting him.
Kevin Love returned tonight from his three-month sabbatical with his foot injury. Does that not amaze anyone, the amount of time that guy misses in the NBA? I mean, has he not been like one catastrophic injury after the next? And he went 1 of 5 tonight, 0 of 3 from downtown, had 4 points and 1 rebound, 1 assist. Hasn't played in 3 months, played 6 minutes in the game. I mean, has that not turned into an utter disaster, this guy's injuries and his career? I mean, seriously. He never plays. He's always injured. And then he comes back after missing 3 months, and we're all, what are we supposed to do, stop everything we're doing and roll out the red carpet for him? And here we go again with Kevin Love until his next catastrophic injury. I mean, I've never seen anyone. Do you know anyone that gets injured more than that guy? Seriously, who is it? He's always injured. And he has the worst luck of anyone I've ever seen, right? He's breaking hands and everything else. It's crazy. Trotsky in Atlanta, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell, how you doing, brother?
What's shaking, dude?
Hey, man, two things. Hey, the first thing, I mean this with the utmost respect, man. Has anybody ever told you, man, you the Wolfman Jack of Sports Talk Radio?
I mean, just a few million times, but I appreciate that. I wish I could live up to that guy.
Hey, let me ask you this, man. I know it's still early. In the NFL draft, do you have a sleeper player that you're looking at that's, you know, that you're going to be watching for the next couple of months to see where he lands?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about a sleeper pick or someone to see where he lands. I think there's, you know, a lot of good players that are going to be available. One guy I like is the kid from Jersey, Rashad Gary, the kid from Michigan. I don't think Michigan's anything to write home about in college football these days. They always lose big games. That's all there is to it. Ohio State beats their ass. But I love that kid, and I remember watching him play high school football around here, because he played in Bergen County, and I played in the Catholic school system, and he was a badass. And I want to see him turn pro and see how he does. That's, that would be one guy that I have an interest in, to say the least. Good hearing from you. Dave in Halifax.
Scotty Dog.
Hey, man.
Always a pleasure to talk to my all-time favorite late-night sports guy.
Thank you.
In addition to Carver High, of course.
Of course, Carver High and Mafia, very popular.
Because we're all buds. I just wanted to let you know your line about the, is it Live or Memorex?
Yeah.
I totally got it. And I know you had crickets all around you.
That was right.
Unfortunately, it just means we're showing our age.
Yeah.
If you want to get blank stares, try laying, will that be cash or charge X on them?
Yeah, that one will get them too, but I'm glad you caught the Memorex line I dropped.
Yeah, no, totally got it right off of the bat. But that aside, two quick comments, and I know it's a bit of old news now about the Super Bowl, but I was going to ask you, did you think New England's defense would stand up the way they did? And are you as glad as I am that Edelman got MVP? Now, I was cheering for the Rams, but Edelman was on fire, man. He just ate up that
field. I think he's a badass. I've always said a million times that I think the guy, I've never seen him drop a pass on third or fourth down. I thought he had a hell of a game. He deserved the MVP for sure. I didn't think the defense would. I didn't really believe that the game would be 13-3, a super low scoring, dull affair, which is what it was. It was, you know, one punt after the next. The Ram kicker punted like nine times. I thought the game was terrible. So, but I did think that I knew that the Patriots had a solid defense. I said it a million times. I talked about it a million times that they were the seventh rated defense in the league and they meant business. And I thought their press coverage was awesome. Their secondary just came up and made plays always in big games. That's all that matters. Big games are all that matter. All these other regular season games just get you in a position to play in big games. They always find a way, a path to big games. It always starts with the same entry fee, a divisional semi at home, and then an AFC title game, and then a Super Bowl. And they know how to do it. I mean, like no other. They win the East, they get a bye, they play two games, and then they go to the Super Bowl, and they've mastered the art of it. And I think that their defense, I heard how the Rams had the better defense, and I heard how, all the teams that were in the, you know, the conference, the title games, that the Chiefs were better and the Saints were better. Everybody's better than the Patriots. And Tom Brady's washed up and he's old and he's finished. He's not the same quarterback he was. I heard it all from all of these geniuses. And they never stop. And here's what I said all along. Patriots win it and lay the 2.5. There you go. That's what I did all along. The Patriots are the best team. That's all there is to it. And get used to it. It's been that way, and it'll be that way until somebody figures out a way to beat them. And they haven't figured that out yet. It's amazing to me that with all these geniuses they keep selling me in the NFL, all these young guys that are 30 years old in their diapers that are so much smarter than everybody else. They're just football dynamic geniuses. And, I mean, from a different planet. They're just from a different time and in a different era, and they're all smarter than all of us. And then I see him get bent over, spanked, and called Charlie by Belichick. That's what happened. Sean McVay, his stock to me dropped all the way down to his ankles. He's the smartest guy in the world that just got bent over, and he pulled a Peterbilt right into his garage and parked it there and left the heater on.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
You got that right. 855.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
212. Thank you, sir. May I have another? 4227.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Pharrell on the Bench on a pain-free Friday. It's Friday to us. It's already Saturday to others. I'm still living in the now. It's Friday to me. Anyway, I'm looking at this, and I'm going to get into the college basketball here and take your calls, but Dak Prescott here, they're talking about, he explains why he won't accept a bargain contract like the one Tom Brady has. There you go. He even brought up his wife. Nobody's wife makes as much money as his wife does either, he said. When Tom Brady isn't the breadwinner in the home, that's when, then that's a great problem to have. So in that case, he can do that. He can do his contract however you want to do it. They talk about Giselle worth an estimated $400 million. Nobody knows what she's worth, but she's been the highest paid model in the world for 15 years, allegedly, and good for her. But the bottom line is, I saw that he's making like $700,000 or something like this in his deal. I mean, here's the deal. Like, so he signed a 4-year deal with the Cowboys that was worth an average of $680,000 per year. And then Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, three quarterbacks who didn't even make the playoffs, all have deals that are worth more than $28 million per year. Any bargain that they'd like to get, they're not going to get. There's 11 quarterbacks making $20 million per year, and based on that, he's a lock to be making, he'll at some point make over $25 million a year. That's coming, so get used to that. Anyway, they talked about, I think the team knows how to pay what's deserved and pay those other people at the same time what's deserved without being frugal. That's funny listening to him talk about what the Cowboys should be paying others and himself Jerry's going to do whatever Jerry wants to do. It's that simple. And his sons, and they're going to have to pay Dak Prescott. That's all there is to it, so get ready for that. Why is Aaron Rodgers complaining now, Carver? How he wants what? The schedule changed?
Well, the Packers are one of the three teams that has not played a game in London yet since they started doing the London games. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers wants to play a game over there. He, I guess.
Right.
And it just hasn't worked out. They have not sent the Packers over to London yet. And it's a little bit harder to do now because you've got three teams that basically play a home game in London every year now, like Jacksonville does. The Raiders have this the last couple years and next year, and so have the Rams. So unless the Packers are going on the road to one of those teams, it's hard for them to find a way to play over in London.
He said, hopefully at some point the league will intervene and make us go there because we all want to go there. The atmosphere is great. I think the consensus is to be over there for a whole week. The guys that went over Thursday and Friday said it's tough for the time change. They're tired, and plus you don't get to do anything, blah, blah, blah. He said he wants to play there. You know, we travel well, too. Nobody wants to give up a home game to the Packers because they know it's going to be a full house. We're not going to give up a home game because we're sold out for the next 30 years, and nobody wants to give up a home game when we come to town. So it is what it is.
That's the hard part about it. That's why you see some of these games in London now. It's not – you don't get the teams that draw very well over there.
There you go. All right, so I want to talk about these college basketball games tomorrow. There's a lot of good ones, to be honest with you. They start early at noon, so get your popcorn ready. Wisconsin and Michigan at Chrysler Arena, the Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor. Michigan's laying 7. They're 10-2 in the Big Ten. Wisconsin 9-3 in the conference, 17 wins. Michigan 21-2. Their defense is stifling. I love this team, particularly at home in Ann Arbor. I think they'll handle their business in that game. North Carolina's playing really good ball right now. I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but they're 8-1 in the ACC, and they're starting to really crank it up. They're 18-4. Miami's playing them in Chapel Hill at the Dean Smith Center, and I think Miami's going to be in big trouble in this game, although the number is huge at 17.5. Vatek and Clemson. Clemson's on the bubble, if you ask me, because they're, you know, frankly, you know, 4-5 at the ACC. They don't matter, if you will. They're right there hovering as a borderline tournament team, right? So they need wins against good teams, and that's all there is to it. This is their chance right here. Vatek ranked 11th. Buzz Williams' team comes into Clemson, South Carolina at Little John, and this is ripe for the taking. They're 7-3 in the ACC, 18-4 overall. They're a ranked team. Clemson has to win this game. It's that simple. They're favored by 2.5. I have no idea why they're favored, because they're playing at home, I guess, because Vatek's a better team than Clemson. Let's see Clemson win this game and prove that they can beat somebody that's good. Otherwise, you're not going to the tournament. You're a football school. Let's face facts. Oklahoma State and Kansas at Fog Allen in Lawrence. Kansas laying 11.5. They're not going to win the Big 12 this year, folks. It's the first time in 15 years. Take it for what it's worth. It's taken forever, over a decade long, a decade and a half to see them not win the conference. It's crazy, right? Meanwhile, Oklahoma State is awful. They're 2-7 in the Big 12, and they've been stinking it up. Kentucky's in Starkville against Mississippi State. I saw LSU go in there the other night and beat them. So what makes you think Kentucky can't go in and beat them? Calipari's got his team lit right now. They're 19-3 and 8-1 in the SEC, and they're winning again, and they're ranked number 5 in the country again. They're laying 5 in this game. They should handle their business. It's that simple. Now, I think Mississippi State's going to be jacked for this game, and more so than the LSU game, but they're 4-5 in the SEC, and if they lose this game, they're going to start talking about them not being in the tournament, okay? You can't just lose all these late-season games. I consider it, you know, late now, February and March, right? And, you know, what, 5 weeks it's the tournament? Isn't that about right? 5 or 6 weeks? So how about this one? Minnesota and Michigan State at the Breslin and East Lansing. Michigan State favored by 13. I think that number's a little heavy for the way they've been playing lately. They've lost 3 straight games, unless I'm mistaken. They're 9-3 in the Big Ten. I still think they're badass, Michigan and Michigan State. But Minnesota's not bad. I know they're 500 in the Big Ten, but you're giving them double figures here. 13, it's a lot of wood. Michigan State has not been playing good ball lately. They've lost players to injury and everything else. Can Minnesota go in there and give them a game? If Indiana can go in there and beat Michigan State at the Breslin, then you'd think the Gophers would be able to give them a game and keep it inside of, you know, 13. I mean, I don't think they're going to win. If they win there, if they lose again, I mean, that is crazy, right? If they lose again, because think about it. They have been melting down all of a sudden. It's inexplicable. They've lost to Purdue and West Lafayette. That's not a bad loss. The Indiana loss was bad. And then they went to Illinois and lost to the Illini on the road in Champaign, and that was a bad loss. They can't afford to lose to Minnesota tomorrow.
What a shame. It'd be a shame if they did.
Carver High not shedding any tears for Tom Izzo and the Spartans. TCU and Iowa State and Ames, that's a good game. I think the Cyclones are very tough at home. TCU not good in the conference right now at 4-5. And Iowa State favored by 10 there. Auburn and LSU. I love this LSU team. Man, do they crash the boards. They're laying 2.5 in this game at Maravich Center in Baton Rouge. Auburn's tough. That's going to be a great game. That's why the number's so tight. Nova and Marquette, I think, is the game of the day. Brando, the governor, calling it at Milwaukee. So Marquette's home. Nova, how about them? 10-0 in the Big East. They haven't been 10-0 this deep in a season in conference play. I don't think ever. Central Michigan's at Buffalo. Florida's at Tennessee. The Vols still ranked number one in the nation. They've been incredible. 21-1, 9-0 in the conference. They're favored by 11 over the 12-10 Gators. And they're 4-5 in the SEC. They might get spanked tomorrow. Louisville and Florida State. I think Louisville's got a shot in this game. I think Louisville, despite they both have about the same record, 17 wins. But Louisville 8-2 in the ACC and Florida State just 5-4. Tough place to play in Tallahassee. But if Louisville wins this game, they prove flat out to me that they're better than Florida State. They are ranked higher than them, but this is a big road test for them. Florida State actually favored by 3.5. Texas Tech and Oklahoma. I'll tell you about the rest of these games when I come back. But Duke, Virginia, New Mexico at Nevada, Nebraska at Purdue, and St. Mary's at Gonzaga round out the top 25 games on Saturday. We'll get more into that when I come back, and we'll take your calls as well.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
I did see that he got a job.
Can you believe that?
He got a job with the NFL team.
Niners.
Yeah, the Niners. I heard he got a job. I don't want to get into the whole deal of what I saw on the airplane because then I could be sued or something for saying it. But it's true. Everything we saw, and I got backup. I got documentation. I got your boy. You know who I'm talking about. It was sitting there with me, my announcer buddy, right? We saw the whole thing. Guy was hammered on the plane. They should have done their due diligence when they did the background check on him. How much booze do you drink? I mean, that was embarrassing. Anyway, I just wanted to say I have all these college games that I still haven't mentioned. I want to go back to the ones that I let slip through the fingers there at the end. So Texas Tech and Oklahoma, Texas Tech favored by one. They're in Norman. I mean, the Sooners have had their problems, right, in conference play. 3-7 in the Big 12. Texas Tech had slumped a little bit. Now they seem to have found themselves again. We'll see if they can handle their business on the streets on Saturday afternoon. Duke and Virginia in Charlottesville at J.P. Jones Arena. That's going to be rocking. These are two of the best teams in the country, number two against number three. The first game was a two-point game. Should be fantastic. We'll see if it pans out. New Mexico and Nevada, that could get ugly in Reno at the Lawler. And then Purdue home to Nebraska. The Huskers 3-9 in the Big Ten. They're falling off the face of the earth. Meanwhile, the Boilers are starting to play great ball, 9-2 in the Big Ten, and breathing down everybody's neck at the top, Michigan, Michigan State. Purdue favored by 11 there. St. Mary's, they're 6-3 in the West Coast Conference, but the Zags are 9-0, 22-2, ranked fourth in the country. They're favored by 17 in that game. Tomorrow night, 10 East at the McCarthy Center in Spokane. Now, I will say there are just slews of unranked games that I, you know, am interested in. I put about 25 of them up on PharrellOnTheBench.com, like St. John's, Providence, Georgetown and Butler, Cuse and BC, Ole Miss and Georgia, Pitt, NC State, South Carolina home to Arkansas, Illinois, Rutgers, Rhode Island, Dayton, Fresno, UNLV, UCLA and Utah, Oregon State and Cal. You know, Kansas State, Baylor is going to be a hell of a game. So is Bowling Green, Toledo and the MAC, Arizona, Washington State, Texas and West Virginia, Seton Hall and Creighton at the Rock, Utah State and San Diego State's going to be good. USC Colorado in Lipstick City and Arizona State hosting Washington. I think that's going to be a great game in Tempe. So a lot of great college basketball on Saturday to chew on for sure. Now, some people are going to watch the Alliance of American Football. There are games. Are they all on Saturday, every game, or there's some Sunday?
Two Saturday, two Sunday.
There you go. So Saturday and Sunday, so they spread it out. Francisco Lindor strains his right calf. They're saying 7 to 9 weeks. Does that mean he's going to miss the whole spring training and just sit down there and spit and eat sunflower seeds?
Pretty much.
Artemi Panarin changes his representation. He went with Bobrovsky's agent. What does that mean, Carver?
I don't know. The wheels are turning there. I don't know what to think.
Conor McGregor and Cowboy Cerrone could happen. Dana White, sounds like that's going to happen, Mafia.
I asked Mafia this earlier, and he'll tell you now. But I've said this 1,000 times. The next fight this guy has to be against somebody that he can beat. They cannot have him lose another fight. And Mafia was telling me that this guy could definitely beat Conor up.
Cowboy's a legend in the game at this point. He's fought everyone, everywhere. He doesn't care. He'll fight on 2 weeks' notice.
He's not afraid of Conor McGregor.
And he's won his last two. I mean, he had a rough stretch there, but he's won his last two. And he's a guy who's fought at multiple weight classes, so he could be tough for him.
What happens to him, honestly, if he loses to this Cowboy guy?
If he loses to Cerrone,
then he becomes a whiskey salesman, and he's finished.
That's about it, yeah.
If he loses again, he's finished. The guy they can't keep wheeling him out and losing.
I cannot believe they're just going to not throw him a tomato can, just somebody to beat up on the first
time. I think they actually believe. I know Dana doesn't believe it because he knows Cerrone's a badass, but I think he actually – I think they believe that this is a piece-of-cake fight for him because they think that he'll go out there and win that fight.
They're thinking this is a guy who's going to fight the exact style that he wants to fight, and he's going to walk right into it.
Right. Dana White says that Tony Ferguson will be the guy to face Habib next. Fair enough?
He should be. He was the one who had the belt. Got hurt, got stripped, give him the shot.
Okay, so tomorrow night, Gervonta Davis is going to be fighting in action.
Did he actually make weight this time?
He had to go back. He failed to make weight first time. They gave him another hour or something, and
Are you kidding me? He's making a joke, like from that night of the Mayweather.
No, he did. He missed weight today the first time he went to the scales.
Enough with this guy.
They gave him another hour, and he lost 0.2 pounds and made weight. He was at 130.2, and he had to be under 130, and he got to like 129.8 or something. He barely did it. So there you go. He's fighting Hugo Ruiz.
Who?
It's a household name. And this is his first big main event card on PBC, and I believe it's on Showtime tomorrow night. Albert Finney, the actor, the star of even Aaron Brockovich. Remember, he was in all kinds of mob movies as well. 5-time Oscar nominee, Albert Finney. And he's been in a million movies. I thought the guy was great. He was in the Bond thriller Skyfall. And he was in 2 Jason Bourne films. He was Daddy Warbucks in Annie. He's played Winston Churchill, Pope John Paul II. He's played an Irish gangster. He's done it all. He worked with Daniel Craig in The Skyfall. He passed away at 82. Giving him some love. Albert Finney making the list tonight of important people to pass. Frank Robinson, of course, we talked about last night passing. Wasn't he 82 as well or something like that?
Around there.
There you go. Drew in South Carolina. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
When they call them, feel good. What's up, man?
What's happening, brother?
Hey, how you doing? I love the Motley Crue earlier.
There you go.
I'm a little bit out of the loop. I want to talk about this AAF thing just for a second.
Right.
Because I heard you guys mention that they're going to be on the NFL Network Sunday night.
Yeah, they're going to be on CBS tomorrow night, Network, and CBS Sports Network. And then Sunday, there's 2 games as well, and one of them's on NFL Network.
Yeah, doesn't that suggest that they're kind of affiliated then? Because to me, that's a big surprise.
Well, I don't think they're affiliated, but, I mean, they cut a deal. They did the right thing, at the very least. The people that Polian and the powers that be that are running this league, they've done a good job, at the very least, in getting their games on CBS Network. That's all you need to say. The other stuff doesn't even matter. I mean,
I agree about CBS. You know, to get primetime coverage is great. But the fact that they're on the NFL Network, to me, that says there's an affiliation deal, so that maybe this is going to develop into a G League or a minor league for the NFL.
I mean, it's very possible. We've said that their rules, that the league will be watching to see how these rules that are different than the NFL play out in terms of if they catch on, like, no kickoffs and, the onside kicking and do a 4th and 10 from the 35. And, it is what it is. Every single score is a 2-point conversion. There's no kicking, right? There's no extra points or anything like that. There are field goals, right, though, in the league?
I guess, yeah. I guess.
But no extra points.
No extra points, no kickoffs.
There you go. Larry in Houston. Obviously, the no kickoffs is probably so there's no concussions. They're worried about that. But the concussions were way off this year, and I think a lot of it has to do with, like, X-Tech, these types of shoulder pads and helmets they're using now. Is obviously, it would appear to me to be making somewhat of a difference. I could be wrong about that. Larry in H-Town.
Hey, Scotty. Baseball is proposing having a pitcher pitch to at least 3 hitters.
Right.
I think that's just a really stupid rule because you can see what's going to happen. We have a tie game late. A pitcher comes in. Let's say he's wild, can't find the plate like a Rick Ankiel. So he walks the first guy, walks the second guy. And the manager has to keep him in there. He walks the bases loaded, so then the manager brings in another pitcher in a bases loaded situation trying to get out of that.
Well, first of all, I don't think the rule carried. So I think the only thing that they're going to have this year, Carver High, am I wrong, is the 20-second pitch clock.
I don't think they've made any determination on what rules are starting this year yet. They have not had that meeting yet.
Right, well.
They've traded proposals. That's all that they've done.
Well, no, I think what we've gotten is the one thing I think they're going to do is the 20-second pitch clock. The universal DH is out. And the, I heard these other rules are not applicable to 2019. All this stuff about facing three batters and then this other stuff about being penalized for, you remember we talked about it? There was like rules about, teams that do well get, what were the rules? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm, we went through this. All their rule changes and everything. Man, no DH or draft changes likely in 2019. And I've seen this stuff over and over. We went through all of it on the air. I'm trying to find it now. And I'm just not going to be able to find it. It's just going to take me all day to try to figure this out. Here you go. The ones that I heard that they're not going to do. So a 3-batter minimum won't happen. Universal DH won't happen. A trade deadline before the All-Star break won't happen. I heard a 20-second pitch clock will happen. And the expansion of rosters, 26 men with 12-pitcher minute maximum might happen. And that's the draft advantages for winning teams and penalties for losing teams also not happening. A study to lower the mound, not happening yet. And then a rule that would allow 2-sport amateurs to sign major league contracts. That'll probably happen because it already is happening, right, with Kyler Murray and everything. That's probably why they put that in there. But I heard that the 22nd will be in effect. I'll believe it when I see it, all right? There you go. Spring training starting. Pitchers and catchers are reporting. It's all coming around. So you got tons of basketball. College tomorrow, 17 ranked games. Pro games out the ying. I think there's 9 on Saturday. NHL, 14 games on Saturday is going to be absolutely incredible. I was looking at the games today. There's some really good ones. Avs and Islanders is going to be great. The Leafs and Canadiens is fantastic. Penguins and Lightning in Tampa sounds good to me. Sharks and Oilers. How about Blue Jackets and Vegas Knights? At T-Mobile in Sin City. That'll be good as well. I'll be here Monday night at 10 East. Don't forget episode 143 of Pharrell and the Bets tomorrow morning and then 144 on Sunday. Subscribe free. Follow on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO. For Carver High and Mafia, I'm Pharrell. Have a great weekend. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.